Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to hour number three of Radio Law Talk. Todd Kunin here, Fred Penny on assignment. Garrett Penny has been, I would say, more than just filling in. He's been holding his own, handling. He's got the other side of the ship anchored down here. We're doing well. How you
he's
doing?
Like Roy Hobbs in that baseball movie. Steps in, starts knocking him out of the park.
Yeah, the natural.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that, and it's not true, but I appreciate it nonetheless.
You know, Cal, you referenced the natural, and I don't know why it is. When people hear that, I'm sure everybody thinks of the iconic shot where he hits the ball after breaking his bat. And look, if you haven't watched the movie by now, I don't care if I'm giving it away as a spoiler alert. Shame on you.
Yeah, right? Watch the movie.
Yeah, he boil away.
Yeah, he breaks his bat, a Wonder Boy. Do you know the name of the bat that was brought out for him?
Thunder Boy? No.
The Sea-Voy Special.
Oh, that's right.
The bat boy, because he helped the bat boy make his own bat. He's like, really, you want me to hit with this one? And then he hits the ball, and it busts out the stadium lighting, and he's running around while bleeding from his abdomen, and the electric lights are showering down on him.
It was so good. Yeah.
And all that. And those are the things that people remember.
Good storytelling.
Not me.
You didn't like it? I liked the movie.
Oh, I love the movie. It's just that's not what I remember from it. No.
Kim Basinger?
No. Well.
Yeah, okay, there's that.
I'm going to need a moment. No, it wasn't that either. It was the when they had the sports psychologist in there because they kept losing. And they go, losing is a disease as contagious as malaria.
So would you say, used them before?
Yes. Losing is a disease, as contagious as he starts naming off STDs and everything. It's like, oh, golly.
Who hired this guy? Yeah.
That was one of my favorite parts in the movie. Or when they're playing Name That Tune with Wilford Brimley as the coach and the other guy in the dugout. That was awesome stuff.
Pretty funny stuff. And I think a fairly interesting fictionalized version of how baseball really is.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, games within the game. I do baseball play-by-play for a minor league baseball team up in Marysville, the Marysville Drakes. And you pay attention to what's going on behind the scenes. And it's all glamour when you look at the major league baseball players play.
You bet.
But you look at the minor league baseball players.
It's not glamour.
And it is, I mean, they're putting in a lot of work for not a lot. Money, but they've all got the dream that they want to play. And when they yell play ball, whatever went into it before that time, you can just tell when you got a group of nine guys in their 20s out there. What's a group of 25 at nine on the field, and they just playing a game that they love. And it's exactly. Awesome to watch. Yeah. It's awesome to watch.
Right. I was thinking to myself, the first baseball game I ever went to major league was the Giants versus the Houston Colt 45s. And before there were the Astros, and Larry Durker was the pitcher. Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, and Orlando Cepeda were batting 3, 4, 5.
Wow.
Guess what the 18-year-old Larry Durker did? Gave up 3 home runs in a row. It was so awesome. It was the old Candlestick Park. I'll never forget stepping out and seeing that big sea of green. It was amazing to see that major league field for the first time.
I remember the first major league game I went to, Candlestick Park.
Yeah.
And it was the Dodgers and the Giants playing. Willie McCovey was still with the team, a very young Jack Clark playing over in right field.
Oh, yeah.
This would have been, I want to say, right around 1980, 81, along in there. If I remember, there was, it might have been a year before, in the program guide, there was a little blurb in there about Giants in the farm system up and coming. And they had this little blurb about some guy named Mike Kruko, who is the color commentator for the Giants now with Dwayne Kuiper. And the Dodgers beat the Giants. That was...
And Roger Craig, their manager during the Hum Baby era, about that time just passed.
That's right.
In his 90s when he died just recently, so God rest his soul.
Garrett, what was your first sports event that you went to?
I don't remember the first sports event.
Pro sports event.
I couldn't even tell you. The you one I remember the most...
Yeah, this is magic. When you saw that and said, whoa, like that.
It was the Kings in the playoffs versus the Lakers. We got temporary courtside seats. Sat down there, saw Shaq, saw Kobe, saw Vlade Divac, Peja Stojakovic, Bibby, all those, you know, those star players. And I remember sitting there, you know, second row, you know, on the baseline and seeing Shaq. I was like, these guys are a lot bigger than on the TV. You know, being a 12-year-old or however old I was, it was magical. It was so much fun.
Isn't it awesome, interesting? And that was the year that the Kings got ripped out of it by a guy who admitted he was a crooked referee. What was it, Mike Donnelly or something like that?
He
wrote a book and told about anyway. But be that as it may, those were also very heady times for a California sports fan. It was pretty cool.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, we're a national radio show, so. But I'm still going to be a homer. Hopefully the Kings get back there on a regular basis. You know, I think they're heading the right direction.
It's a lot more interesting when teams like the Kings and the Thunder and teams like that are competitive. It just makes it more fun for everyone, I think.
Yeah. And here we go, the segue. And all the players are under contract, which is a legal document, and that's what we're talking about in a regular radio law talk. That's how we...
That's how it's related.
That's how we rein it back in. Yes. That's my story, and I'm sticking by it. Mm-hmm. They're all represented by agents, so that's what we have. Case or no case? Let's see. The first two, we split. I got one. Garrett, playing for Fred, got the other one. So we're both up 5 points apiece there. Cal, can you get us started with the case or no case for this hour?
I want to give you a tease. I don't want to give the whole thing away, if you don't mind.
Give us a tease, Cal.
A Marine.
Okay.
You know what? Forget it. I'm just going to do it. Here we go.
You convinced him.
Case or no case?
I'd have to give away too much. Former Marine James Carlito was inside a park in Atlanta, Georgia, when a shooting broke out. A nearby police officer fell to the ground, too wounded to offer any resistance. Carlito crept over behind a nearby tree and snuck out, grabbed the officer's weapon, fired it, and dispatched the guy who had shot the officer. The officer wasn't dead, but he couldn't do very much. He was hurt pretty badly. Then he was arrested on suspicion of disarming the officer and being the shooter by the Atlanta police. When they got there, Carlito had the gun in his hand standing by the officer. They arrested him immediately, held him for a couple of days while they sorted it out. Afterward, he said, I'm going to call a civil rights attorney because what happened to me ain't right. So I'm going to see if I have a case or no case against the Atlanta PD for wrongful arrest. Garrett.
Well, you know, it's one of those things I've always been told, if you shoot someone, you're going to be arrested, whether it's self-defense or not. So I think, you know, that's probably true. You know, you come upon a scene and you see a guy holding a gun and a police officer down, another guy down, and probably was arrested. Whether he has a case, I think there's no case there. Now, whether one was filed, probably. But I'm going to say... there was a case, but he loses.
I didn't mention that he was an African-American male, and the officers that arrested him were white and immediately presumed him to be guilty of being the shooter, immediately. And that was how he was handled, he believed. And that, I think, probably irritated him. Todd, what do you think, case or no case?
Well, you know, I agree with Garrett's analysis here. I think regardless of the race of either the police officers or the person that has the deceased or soon to be deceased police officer's gun, when law enforcement officers show up and there are two people dead and one person is holding a gun, that's really not the time to start sorting things out. You have to act for your safety and try to figure it out later. Thank heaven it wasn't guns a-blazing coming in.
Yep.
And I want to think about this. When we come back from the break, I will give my answers to whether or not I think it's a case. And rest assured, I will not be looking anything up on my smartphone or my laptop computer. It will all be...
buying time.
It will all be from the confines of my own brain, which could be dangerous.
And Todd can't have a smartphone. He has an Android. Okay. All right, I'm just kidding. We'll be back with more Radio Law Talk right after this break. Don't go away.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I like that show.
Now it's time to go back. I don't know who I did that, but anyway, it's time for to go back to Radio Law Talk. Time for us to go back there, Todd and Garrett. What's going on?
All right, so we're in the middle of our case or no case, and just to recap here, the setup is there's an officer involved shooting with an officer and some other perpetrator. The officer is hit. A bystander who happens to be a former Marine, African-American male, comes over to the officer, gets the officer's gun, and returns fire toward the assailant of the officer, takes down that individual. So when other law enforcement officers show up, there are two people either dead or soon to be thereof. And this one guy who is actually
the hero
holding the dead cop's service weapon, and they arrest him. And the question is, was there a lawsuit filed after that?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
A civil lawsuit.
Yeah, Mr. Carlito didn't want anything criminal. He just said, look, you got to ask questions before you jump. And so that was what he was concerned about.
So here's my question to you, Cal.
Sure.
What year was this?
This was in 1994.
And now I was talking with Garrett during the break, and I said, I'm going to ask Cal what the year was and to see if that changes your answer. And I don't know. Does that change your answer?
I tend to side towards no case. No case was filed.
Okay. See, because this is what I'm wrestling with here. I don't think that a case would necessarily be filed even today because of the arrest. For the reasons I said, look, you show up, there's two dead people, the officers have no context other than officer involved in a shooting, you show up, one person's holding a gun, and there's two people down, right? I get the arrest, you don't have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt, it's probable cause standard, it's a safety issue, absolutely I get the arrest. I think if a lawsuit was filed, it would be based upon how the individual was treated after arrest. Now, if cops feel like, you know, one of theirs is down, and this guy was subject to cruel and unusual conditions.
If they manhandled him somehow.
Yeah, then I could see that happening if he felt like the evidence that they would have needed to procure to exonerate him, they dragged their feet, took their time procuring. Do we know how soon he was released after the...
2 days.
2 days afterwards? I think this is a scenario and not a case. I'm going to go with not a case on this one because 2 days was a pretty quick amount of time. You're not going to get ballistic stuff that night. You're not going to get anything that quickly. I would say that this happened. This is an event, but no case was filed.
Okay, well, let me tell you what I have in my item here. In the scenario, Mr. Carlito was standing over the fallen officer with the officer's gun immediately when the other police officers arrived after he had dispatched the bad guy. And he was saying, he's the bad guy. He was, you know, trying to make his position clear at that time. The Atlanta PD thought he might be the bad guy himself. Then what if he's lying to us? We got to take him down. And so they did. They put him down. They arrested. He wasn't shot by police, and he very well could have been. They made that clear to him. And then they said to him, we're sorry for how this went down, but we're glad you're safe. We're sorry about our officer being severely, mortally wounded on the scene. Thank you for helping him. Here's a medal. And by the way, for those of you who are keeping score, no case.
So we both get 5 points.
Yeah.
So it was a productive day for me and for Fred vicariously through Garrett.
Which he'll be very disappointed by because he has not been able to win a new ball of gum from the gum machine the way things have been going for Fred. So he'll be glad that Garrett came in and played for him.
I mean, but both of us, that's 10 points.
Yeah, that's great.
Wow,
awesome.
Good
and
job.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is case or no case. Now back to Radio Long Talk.
Okay, so we're back here, and we talked about Motley Crue last hour and their litigation. you know, there's one thing that we always say, right? And it's like, well, we don't know who's going to win this case, but we do know one thing. The attorneys are going to come out because
winning.
The attorneys are going to make their money, right?
Always.
Well, not so fast. Not so fast. We got a case here. Do you remember Napster?
The musical file sharing service, of
yes,
course.
I remember that.
That Napster started by, was it Sean Parker, who later really helped out Mark Zuckerberg with Facebook.
Wasn't that Spider-Man? Oh, no, that's Peter Parker.
That's Peter,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's Peter Parker, but interestingly enough, in the movie The Social Network, who was it? The guy who played... He played the friend of Mark Zuckerberg, the actor who played the friend of Mark Zuckerberg that helped get Facebook started. Was it Andrew Garfield? He played Spider-Man. He was the Spider-Man after Tobey Maguire was.
It all ties together.
So it all comes together. Well, so Napster way back in the day, yeah, they were sued. Metallica was at the forefront getting them shut down because of all the file sharing and everything going on. But Napster stuck around. You know, they had a service where, you know, similar to Spotify and others, where you could get music, but you had to pay for it, and royalties had to be paid. And a lawsuit was filed, though, because certain new artists didn't feel like they were getting the bang for their buck. They weren't getting paid what they thought they should have been paid. Some weren't getting paid at all. And so there was this class action lawsuit filed. And at the time, there was a cap given to, I believe, Napster's lawyers. Said, look, you can settle for this to up to $20 million, right? Well, as the lawsuit went on, the National Music Publishers Association actually ended up reaching an agreement with Napster. And based upon that agreement, the class action lawsuit that was pending at the same time was pretty much gutted by potential plaintiffs who opted out of that. And there were some that were left. And they reached a settlement with those plaintiffs that were left. And I think the ultimate settlement was, what, 50,000?
Yep, something like that.
50,000 bucks to make this go away on a case where Napster's lawyers had initially been given and projected this could be $20 million to resolve. But we resolved it for $50,000. Look at how great we are.
We're heroes.
And submitted a bill initially in around $6 million for a $50,000 settlement.
Was this to the court they submitted the bill or to Napster?
To Napster to be paid. Gotcha. But then we've got the issue about, wait, how much is to really be paid? When we come back, we'll find out what the court did when the court got involved with how much the attorneys legitimately could have been making from that.
Something tells me it won't be good news for the attorneys in question. We'll be back with more Radio Law Talk in just a little bit, right here. Stay tuned.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. The governor of Ohio says people across the state came together in the aftermath of Friday's killer tornadoes. Republican Mike DeWine toured some of the damage on Friday in the north central part of the state. Three people died in one tornado.
Indian Lake community will come back. That's the message I got from everybody.
The suspect in last month's fatal beating of a Georgia nursing student is asking for a jury trial. 26-year-old Jose Ibarra is in custody for the death of 22-year-old Lakin Riley. Officials say Riley's body was found in a wooded area near the University of Georgia. A new study says more U.S. teens are experimenting with a psychoactive drug called Delta 8. At least one or two students in every average size high school class had tried the drug last year. Delta 8 is a chemical compound found in cannabis and hemp plants. Dave Collins, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
It's time for more Radio Law Talk with Denise Dirks, Todd Kuenin, and your host, Frederick Penny. Frederick Penny. Frederick Penny.
So in this Napster case, what happens is after, you know, the class starts, and when the class gets going, there is, it's not written, but there's this belief that this case could be worth up to $20 million for the potential, for the plaintiffs suing Napster for the egregious acts that Napster was alleged to have engaged in. Well, then you get the class was gutted after this agreement here, and it turns out that the remaining plaintiffs,
remaining 2% of the plaintiffs,
yes, the remaining 2% of the plaintiffs, because 98% left after the agreement was reached, well, their potential that they would have claimed for their claims that existed was only about just shy of $53,000, of $52,841. So that is what the remaining plaintiffs had as part of their claim. And you could see why a court would say, whoa, hold on a second here. Your clients are, you know, have a claim for about $52,000, $53,000. By the way, they settled for $50,000, so they got almost what they were claimed for. But your bill initially was for like $6 million. And one of the courts pointed out, you know, there's a, what is it, except in extraordinary cases, let's see, the fee award should not exceed the value of the litigation provided, okay? And so then they went and they started looking at the bill. They found out that, well, a lot of these bills were block billing, you know, there'd be one phone call, and a lot of attorneys would be on that one phone call, so they all got to bill. It reminds me of the joke about the guy that died and went up to the pearly gates, and you know, he was an attorney, and he claimed he was taken too early. You know, yeah, you took me too early. You know, he says, I was only 42 years old. There's no way I should have died. And the worker said, whoa, how old did you say you were? He says, I was 42. He says, hold on a second. Reaches in the back, comes out with this big ledger. He says, well, according to your billable hours, you were 97. So the court reduced a lot of those fees, but still, before it gets to the appeals court, it's like a $1.7 million award.
Well, so let me take devil's advocate and be the plaintiff's attorneys, right? So their argument is, I came in with all these plaintiffs, this class, and got this thing started. I'm doing all the work, and some of them went off and settled kind of behind my back and opted out. But I did the work, and then, you know, just because they got a settlement and then I settled a little bit here, I still did most of the legwork there. I deserve to be compensated for the work.
And I guess if I were coming back, was the court or was the defense, and mind you, this is all coming up, and the reason the court's involved here is because the plaintiff is seeking that the defense
pay them back
for their legal fees. And I think that if I'm the court, they say, well, look, you always run the risk when you have a certain number of plaintiffs that some of your clients are going to leave. And maybe you have a claim. I can't tell you how to reach your fee agreement with your potential plaintiffs, but if you feel like you've done work for plaintiffs and they leave and you have been compensated for that, and it was a contingency agreement, but then they voluntarily left, maybe your agreement provides for some sort of compensation for the hours. But that's between you and your former clients that left. It's not between you and the defense.
So you're saying they need to go after whatever settlement agreement money, and they should get their fees from there.
Yeah, I think they could do that if, for example, when the NMPA reached the settlement agreement, if there was any sort of award to these plaintiffs who left the class action, if there was any sort of award that they could have received as a result of this agreement with the NMPA.
Because had they done a contingency, right, Todd, they would have said, okay, we're going to get a percentage of your award, whatever it is, unless they were trying to get the other side to pay the fees. So you win $1,000 in a traffic accident, the lawyer gets $330 or whatever it is, something like that, right?
Yep.
Is that what I'm kind of hearing you say they should have done?
Yeah, so my point here is if the plaintiff's firm loses 98% of their clients because of this deal that the NMPA made with Napster, and if there was any compensation that these 98% got, then maybe this law firm that was the original firm for the class, maybe they have a lien against any award that those folks said, look, we've been working on your behalf, and you cut us out at the 11th hour. And now we're only left with these folks. We've done all this work for you. I think the point from the court and the defense is we weren't involved in that. And if you got an issue, the issues with your clients and anybody else has stepped in, we're only responsible for your attorney's fees as they relate to the plaintiffs that you had left.
Okay.
That would be their argument. And again, this is all devil's advocate. I'm not saying it's a great argument or not.
But that's the argument.
But that's the argument. It seems to be the one that carried the day, because ultimately there was like this $1.7 million award, and that went up on appeal, and the appellate court said, okay, here's where you all made a mistake. Okay? Here's where you all made a mistake. When you were valuing the claim, you kept looking at the value of the claim from the original group of plaintiffs, which you valued at $20 million. What you needed to be doing was valuing the claim based upon the value of the remaining plaintiffs, the remaining 2%, which was only $52,841. When you value the claim and then start to assess fees based upon that, the award of fees, because we don't want the attorneys to make a lot more than the class that they were representing. I mean, you want an award to the attorneys that is, I don't know, originally it was $6 million, but that would be what, 600% more than the entire sum that was awarded the class, right? So normally, like if you have a class action lawsuit against Big Tobacco, and let's say it comes out at a $500 million and the attorneys walk away with, you know, $75 million. Let's say they walk away with $100 million. $200 million in fees. The $200 million the attorneys got is still substantially less than what was awarded the entire class.
But, Garrett, would they, as a plaintiff's lawyer, would you make that a deal with them beforehand, have them sign an agreement regarding fees? Because you can't guarantee the court's going to rule attorney's fees to the losing side.
No, of course. There's always agreement, and I think by, I don't know, statute or the state bar, but contingency fees must be in writing. But I have the argument, and let me keep playing the devil's advocate, if you will. And maybe it's a justice system as a whole. Some cases, you know, for the 2% remaining requires a lot of time and effort by attorneys. The value far more than, let's just say, it's, you know, a small percentage of the $50,000. No attorney is going to take a case for $15,000 that requires $1 million worth of billable hours. So part of the incentive is, hey, I can get this from the defendant who has money, who can pay to right a wrong, to correct justice, to, you know, seek justice for my clients. And so maybe part of their argument is, look, if you want to encourage attorneys to take these kind of cases, to right wrongs and to get justice for clients that won't be able to pay, you need to award me that $1.7 or that $6 million attorney's fees.
I can see that argument. I can see that argument.
Because plaintiff lawyers always say, if you don't win, you don't pay. Well, these guys won, and they still don't pay. So I can see where the lawyer would say, well, how about a little love our way? Huh?
Yeah, because each of these 2% of these class action, I don't know how many people are involved in 2%, and maybe 10,000 people are 2%. But each of them individually, it makes no sense to, you know, go after a big case for $100 or $1,000. So they're representing kind of the masses in their arguments. Well, it requires time and dedication in some of these complicated cases.
Yeah. And in most of these cases, again, in most of these cases, the amount of attorney's fees is less than the amount the entire class is awarded. In this case, it was several times the amount that the entire class was awarded. The court talked about that when it was remanded after the appellate court overturned the award of 1.7. He said this is what a case that would, quote, will likely make the average person shake their head in disbelief. Like, how is it that the attorneys made out like bandits, but the entire class only got a small fraction of what the attorneys would have gotten?
But isn't that true for most class action suits?
No.
The attorneys make bank, and the little guys like me, the last one I got was $6 from AT&T.
But let's listen to what I said.
Yeah.
It was the attorneys usually make less than the entire class as
a whole.
If you got $6, it was because you were a member of a class of, you know, maybe 100,000 people. They all got $6.
Right.
And so it's the entire class. The whole class got $50,000.
Yeah.
And so that was the issue that the court had with it. So
that makes a lot of sense. So.
Yeah, it's I see, remember, on both sides.
They're not taking the money from the clients, but they want it from the deep pocket.
Yeah.
Which actually saves the clients money because now they don't have to pay their attorneys.
Yeah. So that's what happened there. The lawyers don't always get paid. So, it's a sad day for all of us. I'm crying. I'm crying.
I'm sure you are.
We'll be back for our final segment of Radio Law Talk after this, which will include quick takes. Don't go away.
This is Radio Law Talk. We'll be back.
Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show. Boys are weird.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
Cal, have you ever heard of the Mandela effect?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, the Mandela effect, where people are convinced that something had happened, and it turns out it never happened. Like, you know, the Mandela effect was something about where Nelson Mandela, was he in some place? Everybody would swear that that's the case. But
he was out of prison. He's in South Africa. He's dead, whatever it may be. And people go, oh, yeah, like that.
And they're like that. So I've had a bit of a Mandela effect this week.
Uh-oh.
Because I swear I remember a case or no case where you brought it out and the facts of the case were some company had come up with this novelty chew toy, but it was in the shape of a Jack Daniels bottle.
Right.
And it was called like Bad Spaniels, and then Jack Daniels company sued for trademark infringement.
Yes.
And whether or not they won or they lost, and it sticks in my mind that ultimately there was this decision on appeal to the Ninth Circuit that they had lost. that. Do you remember that?
I remember the case, and I for the life of me, I could not find it in my case or no case records. And I Googled everything I could find. And, of course, the original case I found, but I could not find it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it was either something we discussed on the show or it was in a case or no case, one or the other.
So the reason this triggered my memory is because when I do this every week, I take a look at what did the Supreme Court do this week. And in this last week, there were four decisions that dropped. And one of them was the Jack Daniels Inc. versus VIP Products LLC.
Wow.
And it made it up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the issue was, okay, did this company that made this little chew toy that they called Bad Spaniels and put the little TM trademark logo on it, but the chew toy looked like a Jack Daniels bottle, did that infringe on the trademark?
Looked like a bottle and looked like the label, which was, yes. I didn't want to interrupt, but that was kind of a critical point, I thought.
And in doing that, was the novelty company able to take advantage of the parody exception to trademark law? Now, the Ninth Circuit said, yeah, they were. This isn't a trademark, blah, blah, blah. It goes up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And you know what? U.S. Supreme Court did not agree with the Ninth Circuit.
No!
U.S. Supreme Court looked at this and said, okay, this has got to go back down for further consideration, consistent with what the law is supposed to be. And guess what? When Bad Spaniels put TM and held theirs out as a trademark, this pulled them out of the parody exception.
Oh, so they said, we made our own label, and we're going to put a trademark for our label on the Jack Daniels label that's already trademarked by them, in effect.
Yeah, and they were trying to argue that even the use of the TM, that was parody as well. Look, yeah, come on, we were just trying to make this whole thing was parody, and the court said, went too far.
Yeah. And it probably was. They probably did it, you know, try to mimic it as close as possible, and the TM was just, you know, trying to in parody. But they're regretting putting that TM on there.
Absolutely. Now, what I think, because, again, this is how my brain works, I remember back to the mid-80s when, I'm just, look, anybody who knows me, my favorite band, Van Halen.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And Michael Anthony, the bass player, who apparently Jack Daniels was his beverage of choice. He would, you know, chug it while he's playing bass, although all I'm going to say is iced tea looks a lot like Jack Daniels from a distance. Whatever he was drinking.
It was his persona. Yeah.
But he also had a bass that was in the shape of a Jack Daniels bottle. The body of it was this, then the neck was the neck, and the top where the tuning pegs were was like the cap. And I wondered after reading this case, is Jack Daniels going to go after Michael Anthony?
I wonder if they sponsored him.
Well, and I would think that they wouldn't, because there's probably a lot of people that saw that bass and said, oh, if you're going to buy some whiskey for our party, you got to get a Jack Daniels if you're a Van Halen fan. I mean, I would think that would boost the product.
Yeah, that's more promotional than a squeaky toy that the dog's chewing on.
Yeah. It's a big difference between a bass and good music and a squeak toy with a dog.
And nobody likes a drunk dog. I mean, let's face it, really.
So, I don't know if I've ever seen one, so. Yeah, I guess so.
So that was one out of the Supreme Court. We've got another one out of the Supreme Court. It's from the state of Alabama, and it has to do with the Voting Rights Act and drawing district lines and whether or not it was discriminatory to black voters the way Alabama had drawn up the lines. And look, the decision... There's the decision, and then there's who voted for what part that I find more interesting. And so the decision here was that the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 ruling, ruled that Alabama had discriminated against black voters. And in essence, what the court was saying was, look, on its face, the law looked like it was facially neutral, but we have to view this in terms of not only is the law discriminatory on its face, but is it discriminatory in effect? And you might have an argument that the law was not discriminatory on its face, but the way it was applied was absolutely discriminatory against black voters in Alabama.
Yeah, it's the effect, not the intent. Because could you imagine trying to figure out intent?
Oh yeah, that would be
even though criminal law
It would be difficult to do intent, but you know, the people that brought the lawsuit are like, I think the intent can be inferred from the effect.
Yeah,
it happened exactly the way they wanted it to, and that's discriminatory. And ultimately, the Supreme Court agreed with it. Now, here's the thing that I find interesting. Do you remember when Kavanaugh? I think was when Kavanaugh was going through the confirmation process of the Supreme Court. And the same thing has happened with all of the justices. When Justice Roberts went through the process back in the early 2000s when he was appointed to the Supreme Court by George W. Bush, and they go through the confirmation process. And what do you hear time and time again? The people on one side of the political aisle are claiming that the nominee from the other side of the political aisle is going to be a shill for that party, and they're going to rule in lockstep with conservatives, or liberals are going to rule in lockstep with liberals, and all of these arguments back and forth before the confirmation process. I mean, you'd have, based upon the arguments, you would come away thinking, okay, if this person makes it to the Supreme Court, they're going to vote with conservatives on every issue, or they're going to vote with liberals on every issue, consistent with the party that put them up for nomination, right? And then you look at the voting record.
Wah, wah, wah.
And here we've got, this is a 5-4 voting record, and sure enough, there were some conservative justices that voted consistent with a conservative viewpoint. But you got Justice John Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh sided with the liberal justice to find that this was a discriminatory law. Folks that when they went through their confirmation process, everybody would have come away thinking, these two are going to vote conservative on every issue.
But you see, there's another presumption in there that kind of frustrates me, and that is that if you're a conservative, you're voting for something that discriminates against black people. And I just don't think that's true.
Yeah, but those are the arguments back and forth.
That's the argument. You're right.
And I think that what we see with these decisions is that's not always the case in effect. Yeah. I think it was Justice Gorsuch wrote the opinion that preserved rights for the LGBTQ community. And boy, when he was going through the confirmation process, you'd have thought that, you know, he was going to destroy all the rights for anybody not straight. And that wasn't the case. And so I think it speaks to the court trying to really make an effort to, look, we rule on the cases as they come up. And we try to apply the law as we see them. And
you couldn't hope for any more than that.
Yeah. It's not perfect, but it's still the best system in the world. And here,
you know what I hope for?
Quick takes.
I love quick takes. Garrett, I'd like to hear your quick take if you're ready for it. Do you have one?
Yeah. So I think the quick take from today is if you're going to go out on your own, make sure you get the blessing of the Pope, the PGA Tour.
I like it. Good. Mr. Kuna, what is your quick take?
I'll follow up on that. And if you're going to make a squeak toy, make sure you get the blessing of Jack Daniels before you make it.
Yeah.
And make sure you pay the alcohol tax.
That's right. Well, folks, thank you for tuning into Radio Law Talk. We'll be back at it next Saturday morning from 9 to noon. We really appreciate you calling. If you missed anything, you can go to RadioLawTalk.com and find this episode and all of our past episodes on as podcasts. We'll see you next week.
RadioLawTalk.com. You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. and I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.